Those of you who have been following the news know that just a couple of days ago, Barack Obama called these dire times. Dire times. And in his speech, he made it very plain, if something doesn't happen soon, it's going to be worse than it already is. More people are going to lose their jobs. Isn't that encouraging, folks? Aren't you excited at the potential? You know, we Americans never thought we might be without a paycheck, right? I never thought that my retirement would literally disappear. I might even lose a house. Totally unintended. Wasn't self-centered or selfish, just circumstances. And so I put his face up there because he just 2 days ago gave a speech in which he encouraged the people to do something because these are dire times. And I want you to know there was a time back in the Old Testament when they were very dire times. And I entitled the sermon as we look at this story, I have nothing to give. Now, before we turn in the scriptures, I want you to know that the story we're going to look at are going to share, there's going to be five things. Number one, the story is about a widow. Number two, she is totally, I didn't put all the words, out of food. Number three, she was from Sidon, which you'll understand in a moment. Number four, she had great faith. And number five, her faith was greatly rewarded by God. So I invite you, if you would, to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and let's look at the story of this woman that literally and accurately and specifically could say, I have nothing to give. Nothing. And let's see what we learn from that. You have Kings, 1 Kings 17. You, of course, you know this is the section on Elijah. We're going to be looking at this the next couple of weeks, but we took a little detour to look at this woman first. We're going to start at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he had come to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And then she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in the jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and then die. First of all, I want you to know that this lady was a widow. This is very important. Why? It means that she is completely defenseless and hopeless. Do you understand that, by the way? She had no man. Now, she had a little son, but her little son was too young, obviously, to do anything for her. Her husband was dead. Back in those times, in those days, if you're a widow and somebody wanted to take advantage of you, you were defenseless and hopeless. So notice the story says she was a widow, making it very, very plain. Okay, number two. This widow had no welfare. This widow had no savings. This widow had no insurance. This widow had no retirement. And this widow had no Social Security. And she had a little boy. What is she going to do? Wouldn't you say this is dire straits? And all of a sudden, a man shows up, a stranger shows up and says to her, bring me a little water, and by the way, bring me your bread. I want to eat something. And for every mother in here, you know exactly what you're thinking now. Right? I ain't giving him my son's bread. This is my last chance to delay this whole process so that maybe we can find some solution somewhere, somehow. This woman was a widow. Number two, this woman was out of food. She had no income. She had no rain. There was no rain. And by the way, she had no garden. Now you see, if you look at the context of the story, and we're going to do a little speculation. I'm going to say, how long do you think he was at the brook Cherith before the water in the brook dried up and God no longer sent the ravens before he sent her to the widow? How long do you think that was? A year? That's kind of what I thought. A year? You know, we're talking about a brook. I was somewhat of a stream biologist before I became a Seventh-day Adventist. A brook is just a little creek to me. Not a river like the Euphrates River, okay? So I can imagine a horrible drought. How many of you have lived in the Midwest like I have? I remember one summer I was in Peoria. In fact, that was the first place Jenny and I ministered together. We got married. We moved to Peoria, Illinois, right in the heart of Illinois. And for 3 months there was a drought. And I will never forget the impact 3 months made. And I sat down one day and thought, what in the world would a year or a year and a half or 2 years or 3.5 years of total drought be like? You can't do anything about it. And this woman is sitting on the other side of a year at least, so there's no rain, there's no garden, there's no nothing. She has no help, no support, and this stranger shows up and he says, hey, would you give me a little bit of water, and also would you give me some food to eat? Well, I want to give you the third thing here. This woman was from Sidon, and I really like this. I think God has a sense of humor here. You know where Sidon is? Anybody want to guess? Not you, Pastor Schaefer. You know everything. Tyre and Sidon, the Phoenicians, way north of Israel, on the Mediterranean Sea, a huge heathen center of idolatry. And folks, I want to tell you something. My Bible tells me that Ahab's wife came from Sidon. Do we find a little humor in this? Do you know who Ahab's wife was? Jezebel? Do you know who her father was? The priest of Ethbaal of Sidon? The high priest? I find it so interesting that when Elijah got in a tough space, the only safe place God had for him was in amongst the heathens. And it just so happened it was a heathen location where Jezebel came from herself, which was causing all of this idolatry, which brought the lack of rain to begin with. God is really incredible. But folks, my heart is ripped out of my chest that God could not send His prophet to one of His own people. There's a widow way up there in that heathen location. I have prepared her to take care of you, Elijah. Go there. And by the way, Elijah's now out of water. He's out of food. I wonder how long it took him to get from the brook Cherith all the way over to Sidon on the border, right on the banks of the Mediterranean Sea. Can you imagine how tired he was when he arrived? Not only that, do you think he traveled at night? Who was looking for him 24/7, 365.4? Ahab, Queen Jezebel, all of them. They had given orders. Did you read the story carefully? It said Ahab went to the other countries and made deals with the kings. If you find him, you tell us. They all said, okay, okay. Talk about being on the FBI most wanted list. Yet all the collected intelligence of that area was searching for this one man. I wonder when he traveled at night. I wonder how long it took. I wonder what he felt like when he arrived there. But the prophet went at God's command. Do you think Elijah could have said, God, you're out of your mind, right? You could send me to a heathen country? I mean, rumors have been getting all around, and I heard that the drought is just as bad there. And of course, wouldn't it be? Because that's where Jezebel came from. So God's going to make sure that everybody makes the connection who has got an open heart and an open mind to understand truth. Yeah. And so he goes. It's a heathen nation, and it's far removed from Israel. And again, all I can say is it's a travesty that God couldn't send his prophet to one of his own people. And folks, take a look at what it says. What does it say? Come on. She had great faith. Take a look at the story again. Verse 12, then she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. See, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we might eat it and died. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. For thus the Lord said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run out until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the words of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. You know what's the most incredible utterance to me in that part of the story I just read? It says she went and she did it. How about this one? Abraham, I want you to move from your family. I want you to pack up your stuff and get out of here. Because I can't do with you what I want to do if you stay here. And Abraham could have said, God, by the way, can I say something to you? What does move mean? Hey, this isn't the 21st century, folks. You know when they were born, what they did? They died there. What does move mean? Oh, well, you pack up and you go. Oh, well, there's no Allied van lines. I want you to go. The Bible says, so Abraham got up and left. I think, Lord, can you make me like these people in the Bible? Can you make me like this widow that it says she went and she did it? A complete stranger shows up out of the clear blue sky in her total dire desperation and says, give it to me first and it will never go out. And how many of you here have read in the newspapers, in the magazines, or on your TV, heard of people who have been hoodwinked by some of these hustlers that are so absolutely refined that you believe them and they take everything you got and they're gone before you even know it? Oh, if you give me a little bit to eat, you'll have lots of food. Yeah, sure. Right? You heard that one before? It says here in my Bible, so she went away and did according to the words of Elijah. Folks, please catch this phrase. She did according to the word of the prophet. She did exactly what the prophet told her. She casted her lot with the prophet. Often in dire straits, folks, people realize that the world hasn't provided. And they, in desperation, begin to look around. And some even look towards God. Uh-huh. And this story is so clear. In her utter desperation and helplessness, she obeyed a plain utterance of the Lord. And I read the story to you. Her food never failed. Amen. Hallelujah. She had another 2.5 years of drought, possibly, that she faced. And the whole time, that cruse of oil never dried up, and that bin of flour always had refreshing in there. I just love it. And it happened because she listened to the word of the prophet. She obeyed the word of the prophet. In dire times, folks, we need to begin to first of all know what the prophet is saying and do what they say. It's our only hope. I mean, doesn't this give a new twist on the real meaning of faith? This woman went all out. I admire her. You know, some of the greatest stories in the Bible, I'm ashamed to say, are stories of women who have been such great faith. They've been an inspiration to me. One of them is Ruth. Blows my mind. Ruth says, no, I'm not going back to my homeland where I have friends. I'm not going back to my customs that I'm familiar with. I'm not going back where I have a potential of remarrying. I'm not going back where my family has money and I could have wealth. I'm going with you in spite of the fact that you're in total desolation because I bonded with you. You're a friend of mine. I'm not going to leave you in your time of need. I'm going to go with you to a strange, weird place that worships a God totally different, with no hope of being remarried according to her own mother-in-law's statement. What stories in the Bible give us encouraging messages and challenges for such dire times in which we're living? She had great faith. She did something incredible. She, you ready now? Here's the punchline. She helped someone worse off than she was. You agree with that? Who do you think would have helped who? Come on. Hey, shouldn't the story read, Elijah showed up and said, hey, God told me about you and I brought a whole bunch of food. It's going to last for 2.5 years. Let me hide it in your cellar and we'll have a good time till it rains again. No. It says that the woman who was destitute, helpless, and desperate gave what little she had, and in that she was blessed. How many of you are struggling with any issue? How many of you are feeling destitute? How many of you are feeling lonely, depressed, fearful for the future? That's normal. I want you to know. You know what you need to do? Get ready. Hold on to your seat. I'm going to tell you. You need to help somebody in worse shape than you are. That's what you need to do. That's what the Bible's teaching. That's why we're here. We are here to help people who are worse off than we are, and those who will do that instead of whining and moaning and being depressed and fearful. And by the way, that's all the lot. I mean, even Elijah, later on we're going to look, he ran away, right? He did, in depression. Elijah ran away. So don't get me wrong. But to me, the story here is the widow. This woman in her nothing gave something, and because of it, she was tremendously blessed. By the way, what was the greatest blessing she received out of it? Who remembers the story? Her son. It wasn't the food. It was when her son died, she went to Elijah and said, hey, what's up with this? Didn't I listen to you? Didn't I obey God? And you let my son die? He said, I'll take care of it. Just hold on a second. He gave the son back to the woman. In our desperation, folks, we need to give to others less fortunate than we are. And everybody in this room has somebody less fortunate than we are. And by the way, for those of you who are visitors, I want you to know this is my church. And in my church, there are people here who give more than I think I would even give if I was in their position. That's why I love this church. And that's why God changed the sermon, to encourage you not to stop. Take a look at Matthew 10. Let me tell you something I did. I want you to practice this. Go to Matthew 10. If you're in a desperate, destitute situation, I want you to kneel down and ask God to lead you to someone in worse position than you are so you can help them. You have Matthew 10, verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a what? A prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whoever gives of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Do you get what that's saying? It literally implies your last cup of cold water, instead of drinking it, you give it away. You will assuredly receive a reward. Why? Because when we are in dire straits, we must look for someone in worse shape than we are and help them. Now, what other New Testament story, or what others, what story in the New Testament, another woman reminds you of the faith of this widow of Zarephath, the widow's mite, right? That has reverberated down through the centuries, that this woman gave not out of her excesses, she gave her life. And everywhere the gospel is preached, this story is told. And we get to go to heaven, and Jesus is going to introduce us to this lady. She gave of her life, not of her excesses. I better move on here. Her faith was rewarded. I have nothing to give. Can you imagine that? Did I go the wrong way? What does Hebrews 11:6 say? Hebrews 11:6. Oh, come on, you guys. You're supposed to have Scripture memorized. I'm getting old, so I rely on you now. Don't let me down. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, here's my question to you this morning. Did this story inspire you to have stronger faith? Did it? If it did, then you need to read your Bible. That's where our faith grows. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In these dire times, instead of reading the newspapers, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to spend a dollar on this thing. I don't want to buy this for a dollar. But you know, it's better to hold it up and show you than you know I'm not making stuff up. A dollar I paid for. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now look in closing at this. And I'll tell you what I want to do. This is so beautiful. The widow of Zarephath shared her morsel with Elijah, and in return her life and that of her son were preserved. Here it is. The thought I want you to cherish and take home. And to everyone here, in the time of trial and want, give sympathy and assistance to others more needy. God has promised great blessings. He has not changed. His power is no less than in the days of Elijah. In my prayer book, I have a section, and it's entitled Matthew 10. And throughout the years of ministry, and I could throw it out to you right now, every day, throughout my life in ministry, there have been individuals that have helped Jenny and I. And one day when I read this scripture, that if you take care of a prophet, you will get a prophet's blessing, I made a list and I pray every day that those people would get a prophet's blessing for helping me and my family. And if anyone here misunderstands my illustration, it will deeply wound me. There is no hidden message in what I'm saying to you. God has never failed me. I have failed Him. I want you to remember these people and pray for them to be blessed back. I want you to remember the principle of the Bible. Principles that defy the earth and its understanding, especially of economics, that those who give receive. The earth teaches those who receive and keep. They're the ones that prosper, and that isn't true. So pray. Pray for people that have helped you. And then pray that God would lead you to someone who's in dire straits more than you are, and whatever they need, help them, even if it's all you have left. Why? Because it's a principle. And it says He has not changed. His power is no less now than in the days of Elijah.